Okay, let's jump into today's stories first, and let's go, Adam. Why don't you tell us what is your first story that you'd like to talk about today?
It's not one that I like to talk about, but it's one that I'm going to be talking about. Unfortunately, Lance Reddick has passed away. He's a pretty big force in gaming. He's been around for quite some time. He was in a lot of things that I didn't realize he was in. Apparently, he was in the 1998 Godzilla as an unnamed soldier. He was not, was it not, I don't want to say he was undocumented. What was it? He was uncredited. So he's been around for quite a long time. But in the gaming community, people probably mostly know him as Commander Zavala from Destiny. And that's probably his biggest role. And it was a strange thing for me because when I heard the news, I was like, oh, that's always sad. 60 years old, so young. I'm only 20 years away from that. That's only a 50% increase of my own age, basically. So that was when, and then having played Destiny, it was very kind of like, oh, I know a lot of people really liked that character. So I knew it was going to affect people there. And then I was thinking, and then I heard, I haven't seen John Wick, believe it or not. But a lot of people were like, oh, he's in John Wick. And I was like, oh, you know, that community is going to be real sad. And then I saw something and they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to, no more Silence. And I was like, wait, no more Silence from Forbidden Dawn? That's mm-hmm. when it like really sank in for me, was when I realized, yeah, that's, I mean, we've talked about it before. Silence is one of my favorite characters. And I don't know what they're going to do with that. I don't know if they're going to recast the voice. I would assume not. I feel like it would be pretty easy to find a way to send him off in the games. But also because he was doing the motion capture, it was his face in the game. So I don't know what they're gonna do there. Also, Destiny, apparently there's been a lot of memorial type stuff. Apparently people are going to his character in the game and saluting or just sitting next to the character silently for extended periods of time. So very sad to see him go, very sad for his family. But that is the first piece of news. It's not a happy piece of news. I want to be able to end on a happy note, and also I wanted to make sure that I did mention it though, so that's why I put this one first.
More recently, you have seen it, season 2 was canceled, but you have seen him on a Resident Evil series.
Yes, he was, but he Wesker? Played Wesker in Resident Evil. He's going to play one of his last roles is going to be the voice of Hellboy in an upcoming Hellboy. But yeah, he's going to play Hellboy's voice. He was also in a couple other games like 50 Cent, not Bulletproof, but the other 50 Cent game.
And to answer for Horizon, if I recall the ending, Siren went off to space while Halo stay on Earth to save
the
Earth.
He stayed. He was
he wanted to leave.
He wanted to leave, and yeah, he wanted Aloy to go with him because he felt like she burned her place. But then I think ultimately she was like, no, we're gonna stay and we're gonna fight this thing. And I think he ultimately was kind of like, in his heart, he knew that he should stay, but he played it off as like, you're not gonna be able to beat this without me anyways, so you need me here. So I think he ended up, if I remember correctly, he ended up staying. So we'll see how it goes though.
Yeah, okay. Need to check the ending again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe he does go off, but I don't think he did.
Cool. Antoine, did you have a story you wanted to talk about?
First, I wanted to talk about Taylor Rich that I've been playing recently, but a very quick piece of news, but just to transition. I don't know if you saw, so if you have a PlayStation 5, you must have enjoyed Spider-Man. And the Spider-Man Miles Morales, and the Spider-Man 2, which is about to be released. And oops, the voice actor of Venom kind of literally, oops, it's supposed to come in September.
And
it's going to be a PS5 exclusive. The studio hasn't confirmed anything.
That was one of the things, though, when people were like, they pushed back Starfield, and then they were like, oh, one of the biggest competitions for Starfield is going to be Spider-Man. So if it also releases in September... Oh, that's going to be a fight.
And it was on Twitter.
Why would that be competition on them? There are two like totally different games. Like,
it's not competition for sales. It's competition for recognition.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because they're both coming towards the end of the year, especially when the Game of the Year awards are and all that. So it's not a competition for sales. Yeah, it's more of media clout.
And Spider-Man has a big fan base.
Yeah.
He does. But even say Skyrim or... equivalent, the next Skyrim, which is supposed to be Starfield, would probably, you know, it would not have the same clout, though. Yeah, you're right.
But Spider-Man, on top of the games, also have the movies with the multiverse coming soon as well, the second movie. So it's really all the hype at the moment, Miles Morales.
Yeah. And
do younger kids play the Spider-Man games, though? Like, do you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Kid-friendly, right? That's part of the idea.
Okay. So way more kid-friendly than Diablo. Definitely.
And I mean, yeah, and then plus like Starfield, what was it? They recently got the 18 plus rating in Australia for drug use and whatnot. But yeah, Spider-Man's supposed to be more kid friendly. Yeah. And then plus, and then let's face it, Bethesda has a reputation for not having the best launches in terms of bugs, whereas Spider-Man being a much smaller scale game, I think is going to have a much easier time of coming out relatively bug free. Personally, for me, I think Starfield is the bigger game, but I understand how big Spider-Man is. So I don't think it's going to complete steamroll. I think it is going to be a fight. So.
Cool.
My opinion.
Okay, then I will talk about Life by You, which is apparently a very trendy game, and I did not understand it. I thought it was going to be like some sort of romantic TV show or drama on TV when I was looking it up. But I think probably the best person to talk about this is Adam. I think Adam and I were both thinking about talking about this, so I'm going to pass this on to him just now. But if you're looking at this, and you should be watching this on YouTube, right? If you're listening to the podcast, just chop over to youtube.com/maged, M-A-G-E, like Wizard Gaming, and you can watch the video. But yeah, this is just like The Sims, but supposed to be even better than The Sims for a few reasons. Number one is this is supposed to have like, I'm going to sneeze. Adam, you can take over.
So yeah, this is made, we talked about this actually 2 weeks ago, but yeah, this is made by the same guy who was the director of Sims 2 and 3. It's open world, which is similar to Sims 3. You are going to be able to control any character, which is different. It doesn't seem to be that you go into a family and you control that family. It seems that, you know, you're going to be walking down the street, you're going to see somebody, you're going to be able to just click on that person and immediately take over that person. So it seems like it's going to be more geared about stories and telling stories about the community and that sort of thing. So you're going to be able to do that. They're adding conversations, which is something that's never really been a thing in The Sims. They speak Simlish and they talk to each other and whatnot. But in this one, it seems like you're actually going to be able to guide conversations. They show there where a person's talking and it displays at the bottom in English what they're saying. And you can actually kind of guide their conversations. It seems like there's way more customization over the world itself. You're going to be able to like build the world. They show them picking up houses and moving entire houses down the street and rotating them and things like that. So it definitely seems like it's definitely in the same DNA as Sims, but it definitely seems like it's going to have its own place where there's going to be a slightly different focus, where Sims is more about, this is my family, this is my Sim, I'm guiding them in this world. And this game seems like it's going to be more of a kind of, I guess, a Sim City for Sims, where it's more about the entire community, not necessarily one specific person. Although you could do that if you wanted to. You could just focus on one character. So yeah, it looks really cool. I have my eye on this. My only concern is I don't think my PC can run it. That's my biggest. It looks really pretty and I'm still running a 1060. Yeah, I might have to get a computer upgrade just for this. We'll have to wait and see. But looks really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember when we were talking about gaming and stuff at one point, and you mentioned you were a big Sims 4 fan. I'm like, oh, cool. Because I remember The Sims. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I enjoyed playing The Sims. I think the last Sims I played was The Sims 2, though. And this looks like, and especially like Paradox really blew me away with City Skylines. And City Skylines 2 is coming out this year. And this looks like something like, compared to Diablo 4, like this would be something I would actually consider. But this is going to be early access though, which means I don't want to play early access like anymore, because like I played my time at Sandrock early access and that destroyed the game for me because I spent like 40 hours in it. I'm like, oh God, and it finally released. I'm like, I don't want to play this again. I've already done the most of what I termed the game. When this gets close to final release, I'll definitely pick it up, whatever the price will be, because this is a cool life simulator. I think it's probably going to look really good. Full 4K, 60 frames per second, HDR if you have a monitor. Like Adam said, it is going to be a very beautiful game. I like the idea of English. Simlish was always really interesting, and I never knew the term was assemblage, so thank you, Adam, for that. I was like, okay, what are these people really saying? And there's always the French-made fantasy that I had in The Sims that hopefully get to do that in real life. Adult topics aside.
I have one.
Go ahead, Antoine.
I'm just thinking, and of course, if it follows the Sims trend and you have a lot of backlog in your Sim library, you can wait a bit getting on sale, and very likely going to be lots of extension DLCs and stuff like this, you know, at least in The Sims, it's just this, so take your time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like in the actual trailer, if you guys are listening on the podcast, it shows like item creator, blah, blah, creator, blah, blah, creator, blah, blah, creator, mod creator. And so this is going to be a ton of customization options. This reminds me, this going back 15 years with the old Neverwinter Nights 2, and they had a bunch of like customizations and mods and that sort of stuff. Of course, Skyrim is a good example, but Neverwinter Nights came to mind for me because there were many different campaigns. Like after you finished Neverwinter Nights, lots of people made lots of different campaigns that again go back to Skyrim. But yeah, I'm excited about this. I will definitely wish list it. If I might be in the mood, I might even buy it at some point. I'm like, okay, I want to play something on PC like this. So we'll see, but good on Paradox, good for snapping up that EA guy, and we'll see how it goes. Okay, Adam, what is your second story?
So my second story is, hang on. Oh, no, that's your second story. Twitch is laying off 400 of their employees, which is unfortunate. Apparently, fun fact, Twitch was really popular during the pandemic when everybody was at home and had a lot of extra time. Strangely enough, when people go back to work, not as many people are watching Twitch, and as a result, they have not been able to meet their expectations in terms of income profits. And so because of that, then they are having to lay off staff. So they are laying off 400 people. Apparently, the CEO recently stepped down. They have a new CEO because the previous one was one of the founders, and he basically wanted to spend more time with them. He felt that Twitch, now being 16 years old, is old enough that it can live on its own. So he will be advising Twitch, but he will no longer be active. But the new CEO, Dan Clancy, he said, his quote, "Like many companies, our business has been impacted by the current macroeconomic environment, and user and revenue growth has not kept pace with our expectations. In order to run our business sustainably, we've made a very difficult decision to shrink the size of our workforce." So that is why. And I think, to be fair, I think this, I don't really know how to feel, because I don't feel like this is necessarily Twitch's fault, because Twitch's success was in large part because of the pandemic. And I think that would make it very difficult to make an assumption on what would be a realistic expectation in a non-pandemic situation. You know what I mean? They haven't had good data for the last 3 years or so on what would be expected growth, because they've been in this weird bubble. Yeah, unfortunately, this is the end result, so.
Antoine, what do you think?
I'm thinking of course, they can't keep the pace of pandemic level, but I still think they are better off than prior to pandemic, because the pandemic has proven one thing, is that people like me can work from home far more efficiently than taking a one hour and a half commute to the office and back. And when you work and you do, I don't know, say that I have, and it happens a lot, 4 hours of Excel sheet in front of me, it's dumb, tiring work. I put Twitch, I listen to it with Twitcher while working, it's sound in the background, I really like this to concentrate. And I think lots of people like me do this, so that's a shame. That's really a shame, but they have a big Twitcher community, big names of YouTube, which went to Twitch and playing on both fronts, like streaming live on Twitch, clip and put their best of or whatever on YouTube. So it's a company which will survive. Hopefully they will pick it up and hire back. I hope that for them, but maybe just a low maybe for them, but I don't see them running the ground anytime soon. Hope that they're going to pick themselves up.
And now, I think my take on this is, I not just Twitch, like I do blame a lot of these big tech companies. Amazon just announced new layoffs. Facebook announced new layoffs as well. Going back to Twitch, though, I think, I don't know what you guys feel, is I feel like streaming has not innovated in the last 5-6 years. Like, it's gotten very incrementally better, but there's nobody else. What is the next version of streaming going to be? How do we make this more interactive, more engaging? And they hire all these people. Like, yeah, let's take this to the next level. But it's never. It's still the same experience of watching, subscribing if you're on Twitch or the Amazon Prime, if you're an Amazon Prime member, this is my sub, or giving somebody 12 months or 24 months subs on Twitch, or joining a member or joining a Patreon account or something like that. And it's just, it's very stale. There's no, like, I do the exact same thing Antoine does, right? Is I listen to stuff in the background. YouTube is my go-to thing for me, just because I listen to quite a large variety of different things, and it's not just gaming related for my background noise. But yeah, no, I think Twitch doesn't have a direction. There's, what is the next thing? What is going to bring them the next $100 million in revenue? And I can't imagine what that is. They haven't indicated it. What's the last thing? Oh my God, they've done this improvement to Twitch, so now it's so good. And I can't think of anything like that, right? That's my concern.
I prefer Twitch compared to YouTube now, especially since what I'm watching is not necessarily kids friendly. So there are profanities said, and I can't hear the YouTube thing. Oh, beep. I'm listening to Morse code in YouTube now. Oh my God, what direction YouTube is taking. It's terrible. And I think they have a competitor growing in front of them. Maybe you should look at this. I saw some advertisement. I didn't really look at it, but YouTube is not going the right way.
Adam, what do you think? No. As a streamer, the only active streamer amongst the two of us, you should have an opinion as well.
No, I think you're right. When you think about it, what is Twitch? It's really just YouTube, but live, right? YouTube was this huge innovation because people can share their content and they can create content and anybody can see it. That was a big game changer. Twitch came out and it's like, okay, now we can do it live. That's actually a big game changer too. Like, we can actually interact through chat and things like that. But since then, yeah, what has really changed except for just being live video? Not much. Maybe there have been, like you said, there have been some innovations like Twitch plays Pokemon, that sort of thing, right? Where people can interact with the game, the audience can interact with the game. But that, I think, was less on the Twitch end and more on the streamer end, where they were like, okay, let's have chat tie in. Let's have some sort of program that reads the chat and then uses that input. I don't think Twitch was doing that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know how you'd innovate it. I think innovation would be difficult. If I was going to innovate it and I could do anything, I think what I would do is allow it so that there would be some more interaction between, like, for instance, if somebody's playing a game, give the audience some control over the game itself to add some difficulty or throw people off or do that. But you would need to be, I don't think that's possible, because you would have to basically work with every developer, every publisher to do that. So I don't think that's really a possible option. But yeah, I think you're right. I don't think there's been too much innovation recently.
What do you think, Antoine?
They can do some manner, like for paying members and VIP members, you can activate something that the streamers public get points for, like how long they are watching or something like this. I know that the streamer I'm watching sometimes launch a poll on it, and no, he does. Sometimes he's playing some AI fight, like two AI, and he's using the points to place bet so that the public can interact and say, use the points that they earn to bet on which character. It's very mild interaction, of course. I know that there are some stuff like this.
And I think Adam touched on a good point as well, which is, like, you talked about, like, changes. And one of the things I'd love for Twitch, and not just Twitch, like YouTube as well, Facebook, is that it's not easy to stream. Like Antoine, Adam, and I know, and Adam really knows because he does, like, a complicated setup. OBS is not easy to use. Right? Twitch, I remember at one point when we were thought about middle-aged gaming and streaming, Twitch had their own desktop client that could help you stream, but it is like basic as hell. NVIDIA has a Shadowplay, right? And NVIDIA Shadowplay was what I used to stream as well, but that is still like nowhere near what you need in terms of like streaming and stuff. So it's just, streaming should be more accessible, should be easier. I know students of Adam's and ours have messaged me on Facebook, hey Karin, I see Adam is streaming. Can you tell me how to stream? I'm like, yeah, I can give you some links, but this would be like an hour or 2 hours of online technical support that I don't have anymore. So sorry about that. But you know, I wish streaming could be more accessible. I wish it was just a program you download from Twitch or YouTube or Facebook, and it does the chat for you. It does the resolution for you. It optimizes the bandwidth. Say, hey, Antoine has a 200 down and 40 up connection. This is how much we can do. This is the resolution we can stream at. This gives him enough resolution for voice chat and stuff when he's talking to Phil. There's so much like innovation in that space that's just not done. It's just, I don't know if this is on purpose. Maybe streaming companies are like, okay, we need to have a technical barrier for access. And so we're going to make people learn OBS or learn Prism or learn whatever the hell they're using or buy Elgato tools, right, to, in order to stream and pay $100 plus in order to stream. So it's just, again, no, streaming is not accessible and it should be.
Yeah, no, I'll even take you one further. I think what I would love to see is basically do it through a browser, right? And then just say, okay, here's what we need from you. We need the game footage. And we need your webcam. That's it. That's all we need from you. You just go into our browser, tell us, give us access to your camera, give us access to the game or something, and we'll do all the everything else on our end, all the processing on our end. Basically, because we're streaming, right? Like game streaming, right? It's all done on a server farm anyway. Just do that. So you just need those two things, and out you go. Which maybe you can. I don't know if that is possible. But yeah, I like my OBS setup.
I do like your OBS setup. Yeah, but yeah, no, it's for me to get to your OBS setup would also suck 1 to 2 hours of your time. But yeah, in the last 2 minutes, what do you guys like? Antoine, you're not streaming, of course, but you and Phil are going to be playing Diablo next weekend.
Absolutely. I wish I could stream. I really wish I could show you how good Diablo is. But unfortunately, I can't. So I'll be enjoying myself. Again, if you want to join the middle-aged gaming clan, you are more than welcome. We're going to have fun. For me, I'm going to be playing in the early hours of Saturday and Sunday. For Phil in Taiwan, it will be more like in the evening. If you can join, please do.
And then just Persona 5 this week, of course.
Yep, I might do some Final Fantasy 14 just to catch up with whatever's do my weeklies or whatever. But yeah, Persona's definitely going to be the focus. At least until Frozen Flame gets their new update out. So see whenever that comes.
Nice. Me, more Mario. And then after Mario, I picked up Bear B&B, which is like a bear that runs a B&B, which is a Switch game that is very typical for Korean. But that's it. Yep. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. It has been great to be back. Stay tuned for Adam's streaming as well. And then we will see you guys next week, Wednesday at the same time.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Good evening.